begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Cunt. Oh yeah, I'm back.
Oh yeah.
Welcome back to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nickel, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
I'm Dylan Reeve. That's it.
So things are off to a rollicking good start. We've never been more professional, Dylan. So what was that noise I heard in the background?
I'm not sure. I think it was some sort of interference. Internet hackers.
So last week, not related to that noise, last week I think, was it last week or was it the week before? I had a dry show. This week I'm doing the opposite of that. I'm starting off with a shot.
A shot. Excellent.
Ah, oh, is this a drinking podcast?
Yes, it certainly is. It is now. I've also got a large tumbler of wine. So let's see what happens when the Jaeger meets up with the whatever.
I believe there was a drinking game for our live election video podcast.
Did anyone play it? You could have had. If it was like every time there's a train wreck moment, someone would have lost their liver.
That's a risk. We're joined by a third voice. It's a guest to the show.
Oh, wait.
Oh, you guys, sorry, wait a second, there's a
We've got a guest on Discourse.
Woohoo!
There you go.
How's that?
The, what do we call you, the godfather of film in New Zealand, Anthony Timpson? Is that
have you got something more profound than that?
Film head, organiser of 48 Hours.
Morgan's chief nemesis.
Morgan's chief, no, you're promoting yourself quite. I mean, you're taking quite a strong, there's quite a number of nemesis.
Don't join the pig in the muck, Ant.
I don't mind being just one of multitudes.
One among Morgan's top nemesis.
Yeah.
I'm working up
to the top 10.
It's sure to happen, especially if he keeps feeling that his films have been overlooked unfairly in the 48 Hours competition.
I feel like my films have been rightly overlooked.
I feel like that,
because
too.
Of my terrible mistakes. Hey, if you want to start throwing punches there, though, Dylan, we...
No, let's not. I'm not up to it.
All right, we're talking about the V48 Hours, which is, if you haven't heard of it, then where have you been? Every year there are about 700 teams. How many is it now, Ant?
Yeah, last year was about 780, but we didn't get not all of them finished, obviously, on time and things. So there's a few less than that handed in their films. Some crash and burn during the weekend. So, but we had a big influx of people from Christchurch because we waived the rego last year because of everything that was going on down there. We didn't think we needed to add any more stress to the situation. So we had a huge number of Christchurch entrants, which was great. So I'm not too sure whether that's going to repeat this year, but. We'll be pretty stoked. I'm guessing it must plateau at some stage.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it.
Do you think so, though? Because, I think, if anything, it's going to get more because the cameras and everything else is just more accessible. Everyone's got something that can shoot good video now.
Yeah, but I think
Everyone's a filmmaker.
There's everyone wants to create. But you know what? There's a lot more sort of delivery mechanisms that there are now than there were a few years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot more competitions. Yep. There's just so many sort of avenues now for people who want to create stuff. So, we like to think that there's a pretty good tradition and there's a lot of great benefits from entering. But, you know, I'm not going to say that there's nothing else out there.
But let's be real simple. 48 Hours, if you can't figure it out by the title, is what, Ant?
It's a limited time filmmaking competition where you turn up on a Friday night and you are randomly given a genre and some elements that you have to incorporate into a short film, and which you have to create over the course of the weekend. And before Sunday night, 7 p.m., you have to hand it into our hot little hands. And then we go on to screen all the films in a series of heats that become city finals, that become the grand national final. And from out of all that, we end up with a grand champ who wins quite a lot of cash and services.
And in the past, prestige.
And in
actual proper filmmaking and things.
You get a lot of boasting rights for a year. We've had people win it twice.
For a year. Listen, I still boast about our our success a few years ago.
Third audience favorite.
I've seen that in people's signatures on the forums.
I wish I'd made it to third.
I've obviously added award-winning filmmaker to my CV. I think that's helped me immensely in my.
Well, you did actually win one of the big ones, much to everybody's surprise.
Yeah, no more so than ours.
I've never seen a pin drop in an audience until you won that Auckland final, which was one of the most surreal experiences I think we've ever had inside the 48-hour competition. It literally was a, I don't know how to describe it. It can't be polarizing if 90% felt the same way.
Well, fuck them, haters.
Yeah, that's right.
We made the best short in Auckland. We won. End of story.
According to the judges, yes. That's
true. And that's the thing, it's subjective. So, 2012, is there any significance especially to this year, Ant?
Well, yes, there is a huge significance this year. This is our 10th year. It's a little bit confusing, as only a few probably know, including yourself, Dylan, since you've been around longer than anyone, that we were part of the international competition the very first year in 2003.
The 48-hour film project.
Yes. That's why we don't have any of the films from that first year, because we had to hand them all over,
right.
Including all the half the registrations and box office. And then after that, I thought, oh, stuff this. Their grand prize, I think, for the world at that stage was like a $250 voucher or something.
Yeah.
And I just thought, this is really kind of just really kind of cheesy. And I know Gerard, who won the very first year, went over for the awards.
That's right. In Austin. South by Southwest?
Yeah. And he was just like, after the experience of the final that we had at the Civic and everything, he was just like, this is so anticlimactic. And I just felt like we could do a lot better than being tied into an international organization that, in reality, didn't give a toss about the other countries that were involved.
Barely even a toss about the Americans.
Yeah. You
know? So, I mean, it's astonished me how much, just almost immediately, the New Zealand, 48 hours competition spin-off, I suppose you could call it, or reinvention, has eclipsed.
Let's be honest. What they're still doing. Let's be honest. Let's call it a rip-off.
Okay.
Reboot.
Yeah.
A reboot.
Prequel?
It was fun. Yeah, no, it was definitely a complete rip-off. I mean, but we weren't the only ones. There was about, I think, at that stage, four other types of limited filmmaking ones, which were called, extreme filmmaking or cut or something. I mean, there was a couple of other sort of alternatives as well. But I think what happened in New Zealand is just the way that everyone got behind it. We had, an enormous per capita ratio of people entering versus the numbers compared to other cities, and it just seemed to really take on its own life here and became something completely different, mainly because we got a broad network broadcaster involved, and the exposure became super high once Peter Jackson got involved.
Yeah, exactly. Then our prince of filmmaking, Peter Jackson, became, what is it, what would you call him, like a patron?
He's, yeah, I think, I don't know, we always, yeah, I guess he's like a...
Sugar daddy.
Yeah, he's a supporter and a mentor and a sugar daddy.
Yeah. So it kicks off in just under a month, on the 18th of May.
Yeah, it's the 18th of May, and the funny thing is that people used to just want to know, like, a week out, like, when is this thing happening? It's like next week. Okay, let's get the crew organized and whatever we need. Now we get requests from like November or October, like, when is it happening? The next year, and I think people plan so far in advance. It's amazing to me. I mean, I can't even plan that far in advance, and I'm supposed to be the one putting it on. So it's. I know people have to work around certain criteria and things, but
there was one year you scheduled it for, I believe, the due date of one of my children, who I think thankfully came prematurely, so I was still able to do it. That wasn't a problem.
Well, that's how we usually do that. We find out from your wife, and then we work backwards from there. Yeah.
You know, obviously this time we've I guess it only happens every 3 or 4 years.
Otherwise, you'd have a hockey team. Yeah.
Yeah, which would be good for hockey.
I'm not doing any planning because I'm going completely solo, and whatever gear I can find in the house, that's what I'm going to use.
Yeah. I think that's. I think more. I wish more people did that. I know that one of my. We're looking at the 10 year, the 10 best. Oh, not the 10 best. We are looking at the 10 best, but there's a few short screening on the Rialto channel and on TVNZU, and we're going to try and work out which is the greatest 48 film of all time. And this is sort of happening parallel with all the other heaps of screenings.
Know how to make that. Kind of
yeah, thing. Well, we're just putting a lot up, and then we're going to let people, you know, basically decide. But what really sticks out are the films that, you know, just don't play it safe and really try a unique way of telling a story. And I know Morgan's two-person rapist one was definitely something that stood out that year, and I think
it was special.
It was very special, but. Yeah, and that other one, there was an amazing one with a guy who played both roles, a time travel one. And I just think sometimes it just seems with people that really are so nervous about actually finishing something and executing that they forget to any innovation at all in the process, which is understandable, I guess, especially if it's your first time.
It's very easy to overthink it, I think. And I know that's something our team has definitely suffered, and I think. Probably any team that's done it a few times as at one point. Because you kind of get into it the first year, you're like, you don't know what to do. And then the second year, you kind of get a bit more feeling. And then you're like, the third year, okay, we know what to do. We can figure this out. We've got a strategy now. You sit down, you do it all, and it just falls apart because you've overthought it.
And yeah, and you've done it that so many times that you even though you've got a formula that works with executing and getting something in on time, you don't know what's going to work with it.
No,
you've had expectations, and then stuff has. Not fallen flat, but has not delivered.
No, I mean, and there's also the thing where, you know, on the Sunday night when you're editing it, and that's kind of when you really have a feeling for how you're going. The Sunday night when you're editing it, you've probably not had much sleep, to be honest. Other people who are watching it with you while you're editing it haven't had much sleep. It's really hard to know what you've got.
Especially if you're doing comedy, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just... And
hey, come on, it's Fractured Radius. They're always going to do comedy.
Well, yeah.
Whatever they get, they'll do comedy.
That's right. Well, that's... Yeah.
Except the time they won. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the one time they listened to me after that. It was, fuck off, Morgan, shut up, what do you know? And so then I left and started my own rape team. all rapes all the time.
is Cal going to be in your film this year?
No, no, he's...
He's leaving the country to avoid it.
Yeah, he's leaving the country to escape it. Yeah, so I have no idea what I'm going to do. One thing I'm going to do is change my fucking team name because every year I make an effort to get along to Dylan's screening. Every year without fail, he doesn't come to mine. So I'm going to change my team name to start with fr something.
Yeah.
Why not like Fractured Radians?
No.
Fractured Raction.
I definitely want to come before your useless ass, though. Actually, no, I'm going to come after your useless ass, though. People can be incredibly disappointed by your one, and then from there, they will be blinded by my
genius. I've always wanted to do a crossover.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do a crossover with another team, especially one that was screening in the same heat.
Yeah. I would consider that.
No, everyone's talked about it.
I've made phone calls in the weekend to try and organise it, but it's never really been possible.
I'll do it.
You're all right.
I'll do it. But, I mean, bear in mind that given that I'm doing it solo, I'm probably going to – everything's going to be like paper craft and bits of string. So
that'll be complicated.
Yeah.
There you go. We're pre-planning. And is that a problem?
Not at all.
We haven't written any story.
Script, yeah.
Yeah, no, there's unlikely to even be one of those in the weekend, I think.
I mean, there's 10 pages of rules if people want to bother reading them, but
Have the forums erupted into? I haven't checked if the forums erupted into rules arguments yet.
I think they're just constant. I think there's 5 people in that discussion. It goes on whether anyone's there or not. So, yeah, I mean the rules are there, and if people break them, they break them. It's impossible to police, but you know, there's a few that we can find out easily if they have or not. But you know, the rest. It's pretty tough.
For example, the team last year, I can't remember what they were called, but they won Best Song that used a Michael Jackson sample. That was definitely against the rules.
Ooh. Yes. It should have been against the rules.
Yeah. It was very obvious, too. It was from Billie Jean, for fuck's sake.
That was, yeah, I wonder, because that's interesting, because Loop, who chose that winner, licensed the Jackson songs for New Zealand.
Oh.
Dun, 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 dun.
So maybe they got clearance from them specifically.
That might be right.
Maybe I don't know.
So I had this wild idea, and I thought we could give away one of your excellent entries in your excellent competition.
15 minutes.
No way! A free entry, but that's worth like $1 million.
Slightly under. The exchange rate against the US dollar has been quite good lately, so it's... Is it a... How much is it? It's 195? Question mark? I could look this up on the internet to confirm.
I am...
I'd say that's exactly right.
Yay. So,
including just
the,
but I think that everyone should pay. Everyone who doesn't win whatever mystery prize Dylan's about to lay out, you should definitely buy a T-shirt as well. Assuming you've got T-shirts.
We haven't, but we might.
Oh, you haven't now, got T-shirts? Oh, come on! No,
now that you've promoted it, we probably should.
Yeah, well, they were selling T-shirts at the launch last year. They were reasonably popular, I seem to recall.
I think so. I don't know. I seem to have a garage full of T-shirts of from various
A garage full of 48 Hours DVDs and a garage full of little mini DV tapes.
So many garages. Hey, Dylan, finish your
round. We could give away all the stock.
All the old T-shirts.
But whoever wins has to take everything.
They've got to take everything.
Back up a truck. So I think we should give away an entry in 48 hours. I just don't know how.
What an exciting idea.
Yeah.
If you choose a winner, then we just send you a code, or they can email us directly.
Yeah.
And we'll just set them up.
So keep listening to the show, and somehow between now and the end of it, we'll devise some clever way that you can, should you be interested in making a film in 48 hours, bear in mind it can be quite stressful and hurtful on relationships. Should you want to do that, keep listening and we'll figure out a way you can.
And if you win, you have to do it because, we could give this to someone.
If you don't do it, you'll have to be in my film.
Smote you. You have to watch Morgan's rapist comedy over and over.
It wasn't a comedy.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, unfortunately, people in the audience were laughing. I felt quite awkward about that.
I've always thought that was my biggest reservation about doing a drama in 48 hours is the audience typically is primed to laugh.
Yeah.
And we had this theory that you had to get them out of that really quickly by doing something that wasn't funny.
Yeah.
And was quite...
it's kind of like, because Morgan's in it, right? And it's like if Zach Galifianakis was in The Accused, it would probably be quite funny.
Yeah, he is a bit, there's just something moderately comical about his presence.
His visage, yes.
Did you see that Zach Galifianakis' Between Two Ferns has just been picked up on, I think, on Comedy Central? He's making a real series of that.
Oh, I heard a rumor about something else that's just been picked up for real television that I can't tell you about, but it's awesome.
Is it some kind of shitty so-called documentary following New Zealand traitors who leave the country and go to the Gold Coast?
No, that was commissioned specifically for television. It's called The GC.
Fuck that shit. That's not a fucking documentary.
Well, it is for the purposes of New Zealand funding.
Yeah.
They only have a category for documentary. They don't have one for factual or
the bastards.
Reality or unscripted or whatever else you might call it. Whether any of those words are actually accurate to describe the GC is also questionable.
If you're going to make shitty, lowbrow commercial television, you shouldn't need government funding. That should be for the stuff that no one wants to watch.
I tell you what, Morgan, when we're not broadcasting and not recording, I will tell you about the interesting things I know about that show.
Dylan's
got a lot of reality secrets.
You know, the interesting thing, having worked in quite a lot of reality TV, the interesting thing about reality TV to me that I think people don't understand is that it actually is often more real than you think it is.
Well, obviously, otherwise that Charlotte Dawson tape would be everywhere.
I don't know what you're talking about. Absolutely no idea. No, but seriously, obviously it's contrived in a lot of ways, but you'd be surprised how much of it's real just by crazy people being cast to do crazy things.
Yeah.
Well, they're on a reality show, so yeah.
I saw there was a fantastic episode of Wife Swap on Prime the other day that was just insane. It was easily the worst of those I've ever seen. Oh, look, in the chat room, a nice gentleman named Cruise TV has just joined from Singapore, where he is, in fact, engaged at the moment in shooting a reality TV show. I don't know if I can mention which one it is.
Best night.
He's making reality TV, probably not as we speak, given that he's in the chat room and listening to the show.
Should we give
him,
the
Tell him not. Yes.
Sorry.
Sorry, I was going to say tell him not to spit on the sidewalk, but carry on.
Good advice.
Should we give the prize away to the whoever can come up with the best team name?
Okay. Yes, that's it.
Yes.
Good. Great. That's a brilliant way to do it. So you have to immediately upon listening to this show, immediately visit our website, where there'll be a competition entry form. Tell us what your proposed 48 hours team name is.
30 characters or less.
And the best one gets to enter.
That's right.
Without paying. And all the others should go and enter anyway because it's a whole lot of fun for a weekend. And then also you get to see a film on the big screen, which is, quite frankly, something you're very unlikely to get the chance to do in any other way.
It's, yeah, because it's $800 to rent a screen for a couple of hours now.
Right, and how else are you going to do it?
Just a boring stat for you right there. So why do you enter, Dylan, every year?
Every year now, it's because I spend every day, all day, making television
for
other people. And sometimes I like to make my own things, and it's... I know for a fact that if I just started doing my own project, it would just drag on forever. So I like the fact that 40 hours makes me do it, and it sets a very finite length of time. It enforces creativity and is relatively easy to schedule my life around.
What do you perhaps think about these guys who are quite really good, really like a competent team, but it's the only thing they do every year in terms of filmmaking?
Well, that's me in some
that
ways.
That seems like a waste. Oh, no, he said competent,
but
Dylan.
But you work in the industry. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about people who have no connection whatsoever.
I don't know. I quite like it. I think quite a lot of them started that way and probably, I know a number of them, you know, find ways to get together every now and again throughout the year and make other little bits and pieces.
No, I just think it's great. I mean, I love it that they do it. I just find it surprising that they have absolutely no ambition outside of the competition.
Yeah, my favourite thing about 48 hours is the time limits, the strict deadline. You know, it enforces you because it's so easy with a little personal project to just go, this weekend's no good for blah blah blah. So let's do it next weekend. Oh nah, not the weather's a bit shit. Let's do it. You know, and but this way you have to do it, and I love that.
Yeah, agreed. You have to do it. A lot of the decisions are taken out of your hands, and that is just enough for some people, I think. Me included.
Yeah, well, because the other thing is I know people who've made like independent short films and feature films, and because there's no deadline and because they're just doing it in their own time, they just keep pissing about with it until it actually isn't good anymore.
Yeah.
There's probably some graph somewhere for this, but they just go past, like they get it better and better and better, and then they just keep messing with it and it just gets crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the welcome to digital filmmaking.
Yeah.
So everything about 48 hours I enjoy doing, and it is something I literally plan, you know, significant parts of my... Well, like I'm missing out on a very big work party because they happen to ridiculously schedule it on the 18th of May.
It's worth it.
That is worth it.
It's great fun.
You can still pop into a work party for 2 hours.
Yes, I can, and I may. But it starts at 7, so I won't be there for that. I might just turn in, I might just pop in later on and say, hey, all you suckers, come and make a film with me.
Well, your film's always starving for, like, extra scenes, you know, so...
Yeah, I'll take a camera down there and watch you film it there with well-known people.
Yeah, God, Dylan, if only you had more resources.
That's
the only thing holding you back.
It is. I need more. What I need, I haven't yet got the 5 meter jib that I think I need.
Yeah.
And I haven't managed to include the helicopter shots.
Yeah. And what story problems would those solve?
I'm sorry.
How could you make those into goofy jokes?
I don't know.
Find a way. If you're going to enter the competition, ignore my sniping with Dylan. I'm jealous. If you're going to enter the competition, go to discourse.co.nz/talkback. It's just the normal comments form. And just in the subject, just say 48 hours. And put your proposed team name in the comments box. And It's all you have to do. And you could win $200 worth of entry into the most amazing competition. It's a bargain.
Biggest competition in the world of anything like this, as far as I can find.
I don't think that is important. I think the thing that's important, even if it was the smallest in the world, it is such good fun. It's a really great way to spend a weekend with your friends. And if you're still friends at the end of the weekend, you know that you were real close already.
Yeah.
That they're easygoing people.
Good.
He's very good.
He didn't script that. There's no rehearsals.
He's very good.
Off the cuff.
Yeah.
You should hire him. Actually, I wouldn't.
Oh, there's another thing we can talk about. Make my movie.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is, I watched the webisodes on the NZ Herald site. Really fucking good. Those webisodes are so entertaining.
He's, I think Hugh's done a great job, and we've got another guy in Wellington who's covering the making of it. But yeah, they're really nice and elegantly put together, I think. I mean, and they do, you'll be able to go back and watch, or people who haven't checked them out can watch them all when the whole thing's done. It'll be kind of a cool introduction into the world of low-budget filmmaking and the realities of actually doing it, and whether or not this whole crazy experiment of doing something under extreme time constraints in terms of making a feature film is actually viable or just ridiculous.
It was like 48 hours scaled up.
Yeah, I think that there were, you know, like hundreds, like 800 or something proposals. This was people who suggested that you fund their story, and you went down to like 12 or 8 or something, and then you managed to get down to this one Wellingtonian team who happened to be a 48 hours team and funded them, I think, $100,000 to make their feature.
Which seems like a lot of money until you try and make a film.
Oh, I could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
It's not just the money. It's literally the time that they had to prepare and write a script was extremely limited. So it wasn't even just the fact of that 100K in terms of making a feature is not a lot. It was everything else that we threw at them, which was kind of brutal. I think they took it really well. I think there would have been a few other teams that would have probably maybe just given up at that stage, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. I don't think they'd ever want to do it again. Let's just say that. But yeah. I think they're pretty happy with what they've managed to capture. What's that?
How far on are they?
They've wrapped, and they've just wrapped. So they've got a very short amount of time. We're trying to get it ready in time for possible festival inclusion, and I know that deadline is probably passed, so it's going to be really tight for that. Otherwise, we're going to look at it with distributors and then make some calls, and I was quite upfront with them from the start that the realities of getting distribution for films such as this is really, like, if you've made something that's great, then it's going to be fine, and if you haven't made something that's good, get ready for a very limited release. But the one good thing about the Make My Movie project is that we have a massive broadcaster on board who we can release the film for free to a massive audience as the worst case scenario. I mean, some people find it hard to even get their films out on DVD, but our whole plan from the start is if we can't get a decent release, we're just going to give it away to every person who buys a Herald.
Yeah.
So at least the audience would be huge. But, you know, ultimately, if it's great, then the filmmakers want to benefit from it, and there's things in place for them to actually recoup in the first corridor, which is great, which means, you know, every dollar that comes in straight away, it goes towards them.
So the film is called... The film is called How to Meet Girls from a Distance. Get to know her, then meet her. It's an excellent tagline. You can go to howtomeetgirlsfromadistance.co.nz. Even if it doesn't get wide distribution, though, on the bright side, there's no way that it can lose more money than The Devil Dared Me To.
Ooh. Actually, if you look at the list of films, The Devil Dared Me To nearly made its money back in its international sales.
Okay. Well, congratulations to everyone involved. maybe that'll encourage Matt and the others to make the same thing again, over and over and over again, and again and again.
They could.
They have. There's the history.
It works for plenty of other people.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, actually. Morgan, that's such an unfair call, though. In terms of local box office, that film outgrossed 5 of the last New Zealand features.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
I'm talking about features that actually were hits, though.
I quite enjoyed it. I'm one of the few people that went and saw it.
You actually paid money?
Yeah, I paid money. I actually paid money and went and saw it, just like I went and paid money and went and saw The Last Magic Show. Crazy. Wow.
No, I like that. I used to go to every single New Zealand film, if I can, on opening day.
Yeah.
From the days of Queen City Rocker, which I worked on, and I still had to pay to go see it.
Yeah.
Because it's a unique thing, and it was kind of rare. I mean, there weren't that many. Now I think there's 4 films being released next week.
I don't suppose you saw All About Ronaldo at the Outtakes Film Festival in 2001?
No.
Good, just checking. To the best of my knowledge, it's screened twice ever.
Awesome.
Who's what film?
It was called All About Ronaldo. It was made by a guy called Richard Lambert. It was at the time.
I know him, yeah.
It was the first gay feature film in New Zealand or something. I don't know.
Surely not.
Surely, and that is not. Not at all.
Oh, it was something, or first in age, I don't know. Anyway.
It was first something.
First something, digital. I don't know.
That's probably unlikely as well.
I worked on it. It's my first IMDb credit.
Right, well, its first. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. It's my first IMDb credit.
That's a pretty good sell for people.
Yeah.
Dylan's first screen credit. Go see it.
Yeah, no, don't. Or you can't. I can't possibly imagine there's a way you could see it.
You know who I want to see more of? Josh Thompson.
Yes.
You mean like naked or on screen?
What was the film where it was his ghost father?
Oh, no. The other one. What was
Only Son.
Only Son. God, so good. Jeez, those guys. They're too good.
They're very good. Their new series comes out very shortly on TV3.
Bloody hell.
Which one's that?
Hounds.
I thought they'd been shelved. Okay, good to hear that it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming.
Excellent. All right, and we've talked to you for ages. Join the rest of our crowd.
Has everyone left the chat room?
No, we've got slightly more. Slightly more than we started with. We're up to 12.
Normally we're arguing with each other about ridiculous internet things by now, but...
How's your clout score?
Oh, through the roof.
Oh, Jesus.
I saw you're quite high.
I have no idea. I haven't looked, but... I got an email saying I could get Red Bull or something if I mentioned... I don't know, because I have clout.
Oh, God, tragic. Apparently I'm...
59, there you go.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, I'm pained. 48...
I'm cloutful.
Oh, it hurts.
You're clout heavy.
I'm influential.
Would you like to continue to join us for the rest of the show, or shall we let you return to your life?
I might just go clip my toenails, I think. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Wash your hair.
Been meaning to mention.
I'm influential about cheesecake.
Singular. A cheesecake. I might get a wine, and then I'll come back.
I am enjoying a wine as we speak.
Can I heckle from the sidelines?
You are welcome to heckle. Basically, the whole show is heckling. It's me heckling the news and Dylan trying to be reasonable.
Oh, me occasionally trying to get a word in.
Fantastic.
It'll never happen.
Well, let me know how we can give away the registration. And if people want to find out more, it's www. Do you say www anymore?
No, don't say that.
v48hours.co.nz.
Yeah, there you go.
Go and enter. Go and build a team with your mum or your sister or your wife or your children. Definitely with your children. I can't think of anything better than trying to make a film in one weekend with your kids. Great fun.
Keep them up real late.
Keep them up real late. That'll go real well. And no one likes a short film more than when it has children in it being really fucking annoying.
And there'll be no problem with you taking them to the screening. That never works out badly.
especially when Morgan's film's playing. Yeah.
Yes, if you're in the same screening as Morgan, do not take children.
You're going to be in the same screening as Morgan.
I look forward to it.
All right.
Gentlemen, it's been your pleasure.
Thank you for joining us. And we look forward to hearing what wonderful team names our listeners come up with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I look forward to joining the 10 other viewers on iTunes and listening to this at a later date.
There are more than 10.
There are tens of tens.
There are tens and tens of tens.
New Zealand's best internet comedy tech podcast.
Underground internet radio show.
Yep. All right. Mentioned an NBA,
onward the news! Know. Onward the news! We need to do some things. News. We've got limited time.
Okay.
We've got a winner.
That's what I'm going to be playing next week when we've we'll probably have to announce quite quickly. The deadline, probably we have to set it sometime over the weekend. Maybe the deadline has to be Monday or Tuesday.
Well, in theory, the entries close on the 1st of May, which is by my calculations Monday. But it probably doesn't. So enter
right away, because we're going to close it basically as soon as we have, you know, some reasonable number of entries. And then away we'll go. And it seems to be worth quite a lot, actually, this entry. And believe me when I say that making a film in a weekend is brilliantly good fun. It doesn't have to be good. And as you'll see, if you go and watch The Heats, which I also suggest people do, if you go and watch The Heats in your city, because this competition is all around New Zealand, if you go and watch The Heats in your city, you will see that you have nothing to be nervous about, because there's a whole lot of really shitty shorts submitted. In fact, I would say that the vast majority of shorts submitted were absolute rubbish. But you know what they all have in common? What they have in common is that they're made with love, and the people that made them had a great time. And I think
you literally cannot have more fun with a camera and your clothes on.
Yeah. Well, you don't necessarily have to keep your clothes on.
No, that's optional, but with your clothes on and a camera, you can't have more fun.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. So we've got excellent news. We spoke about this last week or the week before. This was about SPCA in Auckland being massively overcrowded with animals. And so they'd announced a half-price sale. They managed to clear out 500 animals by doing that. They're still probably overstocked.
Of animals.
It's incredible. They sold 229 kittens, 167 cats, 36 rabbits, 34 dogs, 29 puppies, as well as chickens, pigeons, guinea pigs, and a goat.
A goat.
Owning a goat, I would say that was one of my aspirations. That, along with having a whole lot of fijar trees, just too many fijar trees, because I've never managed to eat my fill of fijars, and I'd like to find a way to do it.
Good luck.
One day I will. I don't have a garden now, of course, because the penthouse is, you know, up a building. There's no room.
I still think you can have a goat there. You've got a balcony.
Probably could have a goat. Yeah, maybe I could find like a pygmy goat.
Excellent.
Goats are brilliant like animals. But goats are, I'm quite impressed by them. They've got crazy scary eyes, and they just seem to be interested.
And they're quite cute. Strangely, shall we push on? We've got so much stuff to talk about.
Well, that was one of the things. Time. Well, you say push on, but I was pushing. That
I
was,
know you're pushing. No,
there was
I
a story.
Was just,
do you want to do one, or do you want me to do one?
I'll go.
All right.
Okay. I like this one. The first three strikes notices have been issued. We mentioned this.
I don't like that. Right? I hate that. That sounds terrible.
No, but well, yes, we mentioned this briefly last week, I think. But basically, a bunch of ISPs have weighed in and said, yeah, we've sent third strikes. So we'll see soon how the actual copyright tribunal ends up working out, what people get fined, et cetera, et cetera.
Hopefully something reasonable.
Well, an interesting point that's come out of it is that it seems like notices have only been issued for music.
Yeah.
There's no... We
you mean like Dave Jobin, Bic Runga, Split Ends, that kind of thing?
A lot like them, but not from New Zealand.
Wait. But surely if these people wanted to have the New Zealand population behind them in this draconian law, they would choose to be protecting and defending the sanctity of New Zealand artists. I mean, that would seem to be an obvious step. Oh, golly.
But
my worldview, it's crashing down around my ears.
Why is RIANZ more willing to shell out? Because apparently NZ Fact, who represent the movie studios, say that, frankly, the $25 license, the $25 notice fee is too high. I mean, they want it lowered probably to zero.
Yeah.
But RIANZ apparently doesn't seem to care so much and is willing to send out notices, and in fact, enough that some people have reached third strikes. Who downloads music illegally from the internet anyway? That's ridiculous.
I don't know why you would.
But so why is it only the music? And my personal opinion is because I am almost certain that they passed those charges on, probably with extra service fees, to the artists.
Ah, right. Yep. That's an interesting thought.
It immediately makes sense to me that, you know, we've sent out 500 notices for you, Rihanna. So that's 500 times 25 plus our service fee of $10 per notice. So you owe us a lot of money. Oh, we'll just take that out of your royalty.
That would be 60.
Yeah, lots of money.
There's $62 million. $62,500,000.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So there's that. There you go. So I don't know. Soon, I think. I'm not sure when. I think the copyright tribunal is due to start in June.
So the maximum fine that they can assess, I think, is $15,000. Hopefully, though, we see something
is
like...
Is that per infringement?
I think so. I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, $15,000 in theory.
What we've seen from Europe, though, is in some cases only tens or hundreds of euros being assessed per infringement. But, of course, what we've seen from the States is sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars per music track shared, which clearly makes no sense at all.
No, I mean, there's some insane maths going on there. But it'll be interesting to see what happens because I assume that, or my assumption is that the New Zealand judicial system, as it is in the Copyright Tribunal, will be less insane.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see, if anything, we'll see, you know, reasonable things, costs of, you know, costs plus, you know, whatever is a reasonably assessed value for.
And the
for
cost the would be about $4.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, so I've downloaded an album from the internet, you pay the price that buying the album would cost on iTunes plus the cost of the infringement that was sent to you plus some amount for causing the trouble.
Yeah, that seems fair. So do you know what else seems fair? Following the instructions on the wirecutter.com and a post entitled "Don't buy this stuff right now," there's a bunch of categories. For instance, things not to buy now include big screen TVs.
Why not?
Because new ones are all about to be announced, and they generally come out in May, or the reviews certainly come out in May. So if you buy now, you better be really sure that what you buy is exactly what you want, because stuff that's better is about to be released in just a couple of weeks. Something else to wait just a little bit for is possibly laptops, because Intel's Ivy Bridge chipset is being released. It's not, you know, hugely or magically different, but it's a bit better, and new laptops are all just about to come out any minute now.
How are they coming out all the time, though? I mean,
well, that's
I've
one difficulty.
I've never bought a laptop that didn't seem to be an end-of-line model a month later.
Yeah. But don't you generally buy, like, $800 laptops?
Yeah, I buy, like, $7 laptops.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I think the thing is that you should buy when you need, but if you don't need, you know, maybe... You know, give it some time.
It does. It certainly does pay to do your research on not just the product you want to buy, but also the market in general.
Yeah.
Things like TVs, especially where you look at where the technology is just changing now, where we're starting to get, you know, different types of display technology.
Yeah. What's your rush? Oh, and some of the new TVs are so beautiful. And the reality is that, I mean, what is your rush with getting a new TV? If a much better one is coming out in literally like 2 weeks, why wouldn't you wait just 2 weeks?
Also, I want more definitions.
That's some definitions for you. They use actually the example of some of the panels which have been released, which are just dramatically better, but I can't really be bothered going into detail. There's a Panasonic one, for instance, which it's a mid-range TV, and it is better than last year's very best TVs, and it's just about to come out.
Good.
So, you know, you get a much better thing for, you know, way less money, and, you know, some people don't care about that, some people do. Next story.
What a lovely punctuation.
Couldn't help it. Are you going to do one, or am I going to do another one? I can do another one.
I'm not even looking at my document, so you have to.
All right, then. Oh, no, this one's the one I've given to you. Breivik, this motherfucker, Anders Breivik, this complete fucking douche nozzle in Norway who seems like he's probably insane.
He doesn't want to be found insane.
Well, no, that's right. But then if he was insane, that he'd probably say that, right? No, okay. I'm completely coherent, and it's all of you motherfuckers who can't see the world for what it really is. We have to kill these guys because of the Muslims. That's pretty much what his argument boils down to, right? I was defending myself by killing all these children on this island because of the Muslims.
Well, I mean, aside from actually, I mean, I wonder if... Yeah, okay, anyway, insane. Yeah, what about him?
So the media has been saying things about how he had been training... to kill these children
by playing computer games. Himself.
Exactly. So he played Modern Warfare 2 to train himself on how to kill the police. And he,
Modern Warfare 3 would have been a bit of a choice.
I don't know, maybe. He played WoW to desensitize himself and so on. And it is all complete bullshit. It's just, it has no bearing. It has no bearing, really, on what he said or on what those games are for. And so, for instance, he specifically has said that the World of Warcraft stuff was completely unrelated to his preparations for his fucking atrocity. And that was, he had already been planning for like 18 months. And he said, I'm going to take a break from my planning and I'm going to reward myself for my good work by playing World of Warcraft.
Excellent. That's a very sensible way of doing things.
And that is explicitly what he said he did. He was not planning. He was not desensitizing himself. He was playing the game to relax after planning his mass murder.
I can't see how World of Warcraft would desensitize you to killing children on an island, but...
Me neither. Unless they're all, like, elves or whatever it is you fight in World of Warcraft. I can't say I've ever played. So, I mean, here is a quote directly from him. I deserve to take a year off to do what I wanted to do, especially with the upcoming so-called suicide action. I wanted to have no remorse for what I would lose out on. I wanted a martyrdom gift, so I wanted a sabbatical year.
That's very sensible.
That's what he said. And he also said, pure entertainment. It doesn't have anything to do with July 22. That is directly from the lunatic's mouth.
But, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you know, I immediately say, bullshit video game desensitizing. But I know for a fact the US military uses video games in desensitizing troops.
And it's actually quite simple to desensitize troops. They changed from using round targets with bullseyes to using human silhouette shapes for the purpose of desensitizing soldiers.
And then pictures of people.
Yeah, into actually making soldiers prepared to pull the trigger, because that's what they used to do. I completely buy that, but I just don't believe that that's actually what games do to, you know, humans, to people.
I've killed a lot of people in video games, and I'm pretty sure I couldn't kill a real one.
Wow.
I have difficulty killing spiders.
Yeah. I have difficulty killing spiders as well, but I would kill a human under the right circumstances. For instance, if they were about to kill you or your wife or your children, I would not hesitate.
Yes, or if they were hanging around the bomb.
Yeah. Oh, that's a Counter-Strike joke. That's awesome.
Counter-Strike joke. 5 years. No, how old is that game? And they're still playing.
We played it at iHug, and I left iHug 11 years ago.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so it's very, very old. Well, it's different now, though. It's Source now. It's a different game.
So I don't know.
The creator of Counter-Strike, actually, this isn't a story, so I haven't got anything in front of me to quote from, but he... was basically acquired when Valve, I guess, it was Valve, right?
Yeah,
picked it up. And he only managed to stay there for, I think, basically the minimum term in his contract. And then he got the fuck out of there. And now he's actually working independently on another game of his own. And they've just recently released maybe some gameplay footage. It didn't look particularly good, but good for him. What he likes to do is build games with small teams and not a whole lot of money. But and that's not necessarily what he got with Valve, not necessarily what he got there.
All right, me? You, me?
Sure, you.
Me. What is it? It's that... Okay, well, meager upload story. Kim.com may never actually face trial in the US.
Oh, you're just some kind of liberal, bleeding heart lunatic. Who would ever say such a thing?
Yeah.
Some scofflaw might say that. But I mean, what serious grown adult would ever say anything like that?
The US judge handling the case.
Hey, what?
Yeah, so apparently Judge O'Grady is there. Oh, I don't know. I missed the first name. It's in here somewhere, probably. I don't know. Judge O'Grady informed the FBI that Meager Upload was never served with criminal charges, which is a requirement to start the trial. And Meager Upload's lawyer says that unlike people, companies can't be served outside US jurisdiction because the company wasn't registered in the US. The company can't be served. Therefore, the company can't be brought to trial. I'm still unclear on this. My assumption was that while the company wasn't charged, the FBI had assumed that had decided the company was illegal, and therefore the people involved in running the company were in charge of criminal conspiracy. But seeing as the judge has raised this issue, perhaps it's not that simple.
Mm. So surely that means that
if the company can't be charged and maybe he can't be brought to trial, then what happens with the extradition? And then what happens to
all the money,
the stuff that's been seized, and what happens if the servers get deleted? And so on and so on and so forth.
Sorry, someone is leaving the chat room who I wanted to say goodbye to. Eve Samad.
Yes.
Helped, absolutely instrumental in putting the Discourse election show together last year. Good dude. I'm really glad to see him in the chat room listening to the live stream. That's really cool.
Yeah, no, he's a great guy. And he's the one who's filming reality TV in Singapore.
So, I mean, if this judge says that the trial's not going to happen, why is anything still happening here?
Well, the trial hasn't been thrown out. Well, the case hasn't been thrown out. So there are, I mean, when...
The writing seems to be on the wall, though, doesn't it?
Well, when prosecutors and police make mistakes in filing, they're given opportunities to correct them. So I guess maybe that's what's happening. They're being given the opportunity to revise the way they're approaching it and come back. Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know enough about law, and the posts I've seen on the issue are still a little bit vague in terms of what it really means, like what's, you know, what the actual outcome is going to be, but it hasn't been thrown out, that's for sure.
This whole thing is tough because I think that Kim.com is a fucking dickhead, but I just hate that this is being done in New Zealand with our money, with our police, with our, what are they called, Queen's Counsel? Our Crown Lawyers.
I
just hate that it's happening in our courts and we're basically acting like fucking puppets. I can't stand it. I don't know if this guy is a good dude or a bad dude. I don't know if he did these things or not. I mean, it seems like they certainly knew what was going on, but just because I think that, and just because most people think that, doesn't mean that that's something that can be demonstrated in court. So this just seems, it's a tough one.
It's certainly not the standard of criminal law, just because we think something is probably happening.
No, that's right. It's exactly not the standard of criminal law.
The other thing, so there's also been a case... a decision in the US about an ongoing case, the Australian copyright, whatever they call themselves in Australia, had against iiNet.
Yeah.
So how did that work out? I can't remember the detail. I think the iiNet case originally was the iiNet was found responsible for the activities of its illegal file
That's
sharing
right.
users.
And they appealed.
And they appealed, and
it's
they won
taken,
their appeal.
It's taken years.
Yeah, they won the appeal. And the gist of it is that it's unreasonable for them to assume... It's unreasonable to assume that iiNet has the knowledge of what the users are doing nor the ability to actively enforce or...
So I've got the decision here from the judge, and this is his response. I hope we've got long enough for me to read this. Here it goes. Appeal dismissed with costs.
Great. That worked out.
So basically, iiNet won, and the Australian recording industry, they lost. And so this is going to have, I think that we're going to see the effects of this even in New Zealand, but maybe we should actually talk to a real lawyer about that and what the, you know.
Yeah, we should talk to a real lawyer. We know some real lawyers. But I think it's a little bit different in New Zealand because Australia doesn't have law. So they don't have, like, we have law now that Australia has some law.
Is it a Mad Max fucking desert warfare thing over there? They don't have law.
It's all Mad Max and Ned Kelly in Australia.
What do you mean they don't have law?
It's horrific. They don't have laws on internet file sharing. Now we do, which means that properly formed notices, for example, have meaning, whereas in Australia they were sending notices to iiNet and iiNet was ignoring them because they have no specific legal standing and iiNet had no specific obligations. Now it's possible, of course, that Australia ends up with a law like ours and therefore the notices have some meaning again and it happens, but that's not what's happened. It doesn't happen. So there you go. And there's one of the interesting I've seen mentioned about mega uploaders. There is legal precedent for this sort of thing in some ways, and that is that while the primary purpose of a product isn't infringing, it isn't infringing. Basically, if it has legitimate other purposes, you can't just say it's.
You mean like sending email to your mum or watching cat videos?
Well, yeah. I mean, you talk about mega upload, where you've got. With sharing big files with people who are supposed to have them, and lots of people have said that that was what they were doing with it.
Including the US government.
Including the US government and musicians and recording artists and other people who do that
stuff.
All right,
we're starting to run low on time. We've got about 5.5 minutes.
On time and high on spirits.
Yep, that's right. So I've got a couple more stories, but we can roll them over to the overflow. Let's do...
What's your auntie been talking about?
Tell you what my auntie's been talking about, and that's a new US TV show called Girls. And I don't want to spoil it.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned this to me at some point, and I tried searching for it to find information on the internet. And you know what? It was quite difficult to find information on the internet about a show called Girls. Because when you type Girls into Google, you don't get what you want.
If you searched Girls IMDb, or went to IMDb and searched Girls, you'd see Girls 2012, created by Lena and starring Lena Dunham, and written by and maybe directed by and for all I fucking know, edited by. This show is fucking genius. It's from HBO, and it's basically the anti-Sex in the City. It is so good. It's about a bunch of young girls who live in New York, and they have, you know, trouble with boys, and they like shoes, maybe. Maybe they do.
Everyone likes shoes.
A lot of people like shoes, but you should watch this because it is fucking brilliant. And I don't want to say too much about it. Watch the first episode. Your auntie has already probably sent it to you, for all I know. It is really, really properly good.
And really properly good.
Really
That's
properly good.
Good enough for me.
Yep. It has the most real sex scene I've seen on TV in a long time.
That's... that wins. Good.
It's so good. I'm not kidding. I'm not even kidding. I might be laughing about it, but I'm not kidding. It's so nicely made. And it's only like, you know, it's a 30-minute show.
Cool. No, it sounds good. I will check it out. I'm just looking it up on the IMDb now. I see the second episode has aired. And it has a great title. I don't know what the first episode's title was because I'm looking at that one. The first episode's just called Pilot. The second episode's called Vagina Panic.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So I'm totally down for watching any TV show named Vagina Panic.
Yep. Hey, Dylan!
Hey.
Do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer, even though you're not currently in America or the UK?
I most certainly do.
Do you have some reason? Go to discourse.co.nz/VPN and sign up. It's surprisingly inexpensive.
Yeah, it's a VPN. It means your traffic doesn't exit New Zealand. It goes somewhere else.
Yep. It looks like you're somewhere else and it's all encrypted and so no one knows who you really are unless you tell them. You know, you could tell them somehow.
Yeah, but if you use a VPN and then put your email address and something, they're going to know who you are.
Yep.
That's not always saying.
Yep, but they won't necessarily know you did it from New Zealand. That's it.
They will not know.
Completely unrelated to everything else. Corrections. Is there a button?
Corrections.
I don't know what corrections we need to make. I'm sure there was something we've done.
We got nothing wrong. Actually, there is one thing which I will discuss in the overflow vis-a-vis Orcon's new plans.
Oh, we're not talking about that now. I want to talk about that a little bit. Let me tell you what I'm frustrated by. I haven't moved to Genius because I was going to, but I couldn't get the number I wanted. And so I asked them on Twitter, hey, can I do this number? Like maybe in a DM. And he was like, no, there's no way to do that. Because I wanted a very particular number, which was in the range that was which was being auto-generated on the form.
And then after that, I just sort of lost...
Exactly. And then I just sort of lost interest in doing it. And for whatever reason, I didn't sign up. And then they recently increased the data package so that now I'm paying $140 a month to get like 70 gigs. But the new package, you pay like $100 a month and get 200 gigs and a phone line. And I don't even have a phone line. So I'd be a fucking idiot not to change over. But if I change over, I have to wait. I mean, I'd have to like change to Genius and then I have to like wait a month before the new packages even come available. And it's all just a super pain in the ass.
Actually, have you checked that? Because... if you change plan, if you're actually changing from one service to another, they might prorate the month. But if you were changing plans within your service, they don't.
Well, last time I looked, you couldn't sign up with the new packages. So I assumed that you were signing up with the old packages.
Ah, yes.
And would therefore then have to change to the new package. And so I was what the fuck is this bullshit? You're still having people sign up, but it's for old packages, which you shouldn't even still be advertising anymore. And they were like, whatever. No real response.
We'll discuss this more in the overflow.
1 minute.
It's been frustrating to me.
All right. One very quick story. Aviva. Hey, Dylan.
Hey.
You're fired.
Oh, shit.
Hey, Dylan.
Yeah?
I apologize. That wasn't meant to come to you.
Oh, great.
So that's what Aviva did. Essentially, this is Aviva Investments, I think. Aviva Investor. They sent an email to 1,300 workers that said, I'm required to remind you of your contractual obligations to the company. Well, it fired them, basically, and then told them to clear out their shit and get the fuck out. And then they
went to the all staff mailing list instead of Joe Shitbag.
Exactly. And then a few minutes later, apparently, they sent an apology saying that was an accident. But presumably, they probably sent an apology to the person that really was fired, who was then fired, and then unfired, and then was like, oh, relief, and then refired. Thank you for listening. I love you. Goodbye. See you in the Everflow in a minute.
One. You're listening to The Weekly Show on with
God. All right, we're using that one.